slide down. Rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a...
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 1 of Destructo Discourse. My name is Tyler. I have with me Matthew.
Hello.
Jason.
Hi.
And Gordy.
Hi there.
Hey guys, what are we doing? What is this?
It's something we got roped into.
I guess I should steer, since I was the one that hogtied you all in the first place.
This is your brainchild.
This is my baby.
You brought us into this brand new world.
Yeah. I'm in the back of the van. I can't steer where we're going from, you know, rolling around in the trunk.
I mean, I'm happy to be here, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But I do not know where we're going.
I tried to make the van accommodating, at least.
I was promised brownies.
Well, I gave you blondies, so deal with it. I've been watching a lot of Dragon Ball Super lately, and it's coming to a close. So I wanted to revisit Dragon Ball, because it's been very important to me in my life growing up. Formative, I would say. So I wanted to watch it with my friends and talk about it. What a concept, right?
It's novel.
Specifically Dragon Ball Z, because that's the one that I really like. Like, I like Dragon Ball, I enjoy the comedy and the adventure, but I didn't want to sit through hours and hours of pervert jokes and world tournaments to get to karate men in space yelling really loud and fighting.
Those world tournaments are excellent, though.
They're okay. They're better great ones in Dragon Ball Z, I think.
There was a guy whose martial arts was stinking.
Yeah, I remember that guy. He's like Bacterium or something.
Yeah, yeah, we'll think fondly of Bacterium as we move forward into the Saiyan saga.
We don't look back. We're like Saiyans.
Let's do a rundown. Gordy, you kick us off. How did you first see Dragon Ball?
I had a lot of friends in like middle school. I was like 12, 13, who were like very into it, and they were talking about it a lot. And it was just like it just kind of like put a hook in my brain. I was like, I need to go find this. Like Saturday morning, whenever it came on, I don't remember. I just like made a note, like I gotta watch this show called Dragon Ball Z because it sounds bananas and they won't stop talking about it. And so I started watching it then, but kind of got pieces of it. I don't think I saw. I think actually to this day I have not seen the entire thing in the right order, like just straight through. So there will be some pieces where I'm less familiar with this, which will be interesting. Yeah. And I did watch all of Dragon Ball in continuity, which is fantastic. And I love Dragon Ball, except for the Red Ribbon Army stuff.
What?
That
it's so long.
Yeah, it's good. It does drag.
It's so long. But yeah,
there are very forgettable generals.
There are patches of Z that I am not as familiar with, and I will effectively be watching for the first time.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fully expecting to just completely misremember almost everything.
Like come like androids and Cell, things start getting a little hazy, and then when we're into Boo, things are very hazy.
Oh, Boo's just gone.
That one, yeah, might be, you know,
you don't remember. It's the best.
No, it might be for the best.
Oh yeah, that is my understanding. That's why I haven't re-pursued the Boo saga until this point, until we get to it in like 5 years.
Yeah, look forward to it. What's my 5-year plan? Well, I'll be watching Boo.
Jason, hit us with your story.
Yeah, I kind of picked it up by being just a Toonami kid, I guess. It was Sailor Moon at 4, Reboot at 4:30, and then DBC was at 5. Thank you very much.
Very precise.
I think there was Battle of the Planets on, but that was like way back when I was in kindergarten. I was kind of fixated on it because I'm like, oh, it's like cartoons. What? That's not something that happens in cartoons. That guy just got a hole through his chest. So I was just very, like, hooked from there. And then I was watching. At some point, my family got access to broadband internet, which was a mistake. Because somewhere in, like, Cell or Frieza, I went online and went, what? Then this happens? There's a GT? That can only be better! It's just more Dragon Ball!
Oh, no.
It's the only possible
answer.
Really bad JPEGs, Meaties of Chala, Head Chala. Me and my friend Ian formed a two-person club called the Z Club, where we just kind of wrote down fan theories and stuff. It was pretty great. For a 9-year-old, I had a lot of responsibility.
Welcome to your new Z Club.
Yeah, we're here. I made it, Mom.
You said it was just a phase.
This is proof that it cannot be a phase. I watched...
No, once you're in for life.
Yeah, it's true. I kind of stopped around... Ooh, I want to say. I definitely made it through Cell, because I remember the ending and it was iconic. But around Boo, it got... Yeah, I just kind of fell off. Maybe I was too old for it, but I don't know. Apparently, it's... Some people like it, some people really hate it. It is a blank slate that I will be experiencing fresh. Fresh and new.
It'll be a while, but I'm very excited to get your fresh opinions on the Boo Saga.
I can't wait.
I'm ready to formulate opinions on the Boo Saga.
There you go.
Hot takes.
Yeah, hopefully fresh ones, too.
Out of the oven.
It's going to be things no one has ever said about Boo.
Matt, how about you?
Let's see. Well, my dad was a huge fan of Thundercats, which was on Toonami. And so that's what we watched it for. And then they were showing like commercials for this new TV show called Dragon Ball Z. And just based on those commercials, I was like, we gotta watch this. And so like me, my brother, and my dad all sat in front of the TV for like big hour-long premiere of Dragon Ball Z. And it was just downhill from there. My dad actually watched it with us all the way through the Frieza saga.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Kudos to dad.
And then like me, my friends grew an unhealthy obsession for it. We would like print off pictures, like, or we called them pics.
Yes.
Of Dragon Ball Z
with a
just,
Z,
like, yes. Trade them like they were cards.
Absolutely.
And binders full of DBZ pics.
Yes.
Did anybody, I have a very important question.
Yeah.
Did anybody get into the Dragon Ball Z trading card game?
I did not.
I bought packs, but I never played it.
I have seen them, I've never played it, and I carry with me a curiosity that I cannot sate.
I can only say my best friend at the time had a holographic Majin Vegeta card, and that was like his most
prized
possession.
Lorded it over everybody?
Yeah.
Is Majin Vegeta the equivalent of holographic Charizard?
He was for him.
Okay.
Whether or not it was in reality.
True.
It's a very personalized rating system for these cards.
I think so.
Like, holographic Chaozu was my shit.
You have one?
No.
Or had?
I don't know if that even exists. And as for me, it's pretty similar story. I actually caught it when they were playing it late night in addition to Toonami. Like, I stayed up like way later than I probably should have one night as a kid. Just heard that standby for Dragon Ball Z before Rock the Dragon kicked in.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, ever since then, I started a podcast. So it,
well, and look at me now.
It left an impression, we'll say.
What is it with the 90s and just broadcasting anime at the ungodliest hours of night and morning?
They did me a service, sir. They made it seem like it was illicit.
A secret. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to wake up at 6 to catch Pokemon. That was nonsense.
So, for the purposes of this rewatch podcast, we're going to be watching the Funimation Uncut dub. I think everybody's watching that, right?
Yes.
Yep.
We may have people join us in the future who watch the subs. We're going to have a rolling cast, just whoever wants to join week to week as we watch all episodes of Dragon Ball Z. And we might continue into Super, but that's a ways away, so we're not going to think about that for now.
I mean, at the very least, we're not really going to be watching Kai, right?
No, no, no.
No. Full. All of Z.
Everything. Show us
every long second of it.
Warts and all of this show.
There is so much of this show.
Guys, we're going to watch all 5 minutes of Namek blowing up.
Get every sweet, juicy second of that planet.
Every scale of the Snake Road we will walk upon.
So Gordy and I are watching specifically with the Bruce Faulkner score, because that is my favorite score.
It is the righteous way to do it.
You, Jason, and Matt, I don't think you have that luxury because you're watching from Funimation now.
Yes. Yeah.
But I got those sweet DVDs with audio options.
Yeah, the music is very much not what I remember it.
No.
It's a weird mix of, like, the original Japanese soundtrack and some stock soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like some stock music they bought for $5.
Or do we need to start with theme songs?
I think we should start talking about music.
Start at the top.
That's how we're brought into the episode. So let's do that.
Matt, I think you said you had thoughts.
I do.
If you want to kick us off.
The one I was given was not the one I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted what you got, which was Head Chala, mm-hmm. one of the most famous theme songs in the history of anime. Instead, we got some like stock rock music that they bought off of some website in 1990.
Listen, we got to put these DVDs out.
Yeah.
We didn't have an intro for Toonami. We just showed clips of the show.
True.
Funimation was barely a thing at the time.
To jam some music in there. I think Chala Head Chala, absolutely great way to do it. I think
Rock the Dragon was great.
Totally, totally reasonable choice as well.
Supposedly coming later.
Yeah. There are some wrong answers though.
Well, okay.
There are some less ideal options out there.
There was that There was that completely instrumental one, right? That was just there were lyrics. The lyrics were just Dragon Ball Z. That's it.
Did you? I think Tyler. I think you showed this one to me a while back. You've seen the Canadian intro,
yes.
Right?
The ocean dub.
Yeah. Well, is that what it is, or the ocean?
The one with Brian Drummond as Vegeta.
Ocean's Rock the Dragon.
Was Ocean Rock the Dragon?
There's like a UK dub that is very bad, and I don't remember what that dub house is called. Is that what you were referring to, Gordy?
Yes, I think so.
There were at least a couple of them that were completely instrumental. One of which was like the, in my mind, iconic, like the full.
That's the Toonami Funimation.
That was my jam. That was my bop. That was telling me it's time to grab whatever food was for dinner, because now we're eating dinner in front of the TV.
I mean, it really.
Because I'm not going to miss out on this.
Yeah, it really sets the tone for the episode. Like, it does kind of shape your experience a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If you can kick it off with, like, Rock the Dragon or Head Chala.
You know what? I'm gonna toss some of each of these in as backing tracks as we talk about them. How's that sound?
That's,
I mean, I am listening to the Canadian one.
That's tasty. See, Chala, Head Chala, I never really got it on the... Because Toonami was how I absorbed all the Dragon Ball.
Right.
So the only time I really got Chala Head Chala was that one, like, VHS of Dead Zone that I had. Yeah. That's the
that
only
VHS
way.
VHS of Dead Zone.
Yeah, you know, the one.
Which might be canon.
I don't remember much
now,
about Dead Zone.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, since since we're watching the version that has Garlic Jr. showing up.
Sure, it's canon to us.
True. Yeah. It's canon in our heart.
It's canon to Destructo Discourse.
It's our own local canon.
Yeah.
Which we will be building over the course of this show. We're gonna take the best of all Dragon Ball canons and weave them together into the greatest tapestry.
Just assemble our perfect Frankenstein.
Yeah, of Dragon Ball.
Well, with that out of the way, shall we start talking about these episodes?
Please.
I've got notes.
All right. We are going to, for this episode, we will be discussing the first three episodes of DBZ because we don't want this to take forever. We want to watch all of it, but we want to do it in a timely fashion. So we're gonna do multiple episodes per recording.
But nor are we willing to watch five episodes in a row.
Yeah, we'll see where we're at.
We'll feel it out.
Yeah.
We're going to find a comfort zone for everybody. All right, so this first episode kicks off. For us, in the English dub, we get the narration that there has been 5 years of peace since Piccolo's last defeat at the end of Dragon Ball. The show refers to it as an era, which I made special note of, because that seems like not a long time for an era, and kind of speaks to the level of peace present in the Dragon Ball universe. If like 5 years of chill is
an era of peace
is reflected back upon fondly.
You get a look at it through Dragon Ball, right? And it is pretty constant. Like, since people figure out what the Dragon Balls are, it basically has not stopped.
Everyone, right. Yeah, anyone can die at any time. Death seems to not really be that big a deal as well.
We've surpassed it.
Yes, we've surpassed it. We've cheated it. The local flora and fauna are gargantuan Godzilla monsters ready to kill you at any moment.
Fair point.
Dinosaurs are just there.
It does seem like a world that is primed for violence.
I have no idea how these people live normal lives knowing that there's massive bandits.
At the same time, I don't think there's, like, war or anything because there is just a world president.
That's true. Or is he a president or a king? I forget what they say in the dub.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I know there's just one singular ruler, and he's an animal person.
There are chunks of, like, the backstory or the lore that I am missing. So I am not sure. Did anybody get into the Dragon Balls before the events of Dragon Ball the show?
Retroactively.
Yeah, at least in like recent history for that world.
Not in recent history, because Bulma was like one of the few people who even knew about them.
Right.
It was Bulma, it was Pilaf, and it was an army.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't remember if Roshi knew about them. No, he didn't.
He didn't.
He didn't know what they did.
Right, because he just gave it up.
Yeah. And then he found out and he was like, well, I wouldn't have just given it up if I knew that was...
What's this bullshit? Whatever.
Yeah.
So my note for this was Chala Hechala unplugged acoustic version. Because that is what we retreated to at the very opening.
Some soothing jams to introduce us to our setting.
A smooth jazz version.
A very lush mountainside that our hero lives on.
Lush watercolor mountainside. I'm going to probably spend some time talking about how gorgeous these backgrounds are because they're wonderful.
We see Goku's home. He has kicked down a very large tree because there is no one to fight but trees.
No.
He's so desperate for some action.
He ran out of giant fish to kill.
He just chops down, punches down trees every now and then.
He needs training. He's got to keep it firm.
He does it, I guess, like only as often as they need firewood, because that's what it's for. Because he brings it back and he's like, this ought to keep us for a while.
He does say that he just passes time by collecting Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been doing that since he was a child.
Yeah,
so
he's good at it.
It's just a hobby now.
Yeah.
But he's doing it without the Dragon Radar, right?
Yeah,
that's,
I think so.
That's honestly very impressive.
That's just intuition.
Like, Goku is not a bright man.
No.
He is singularly focused sometimes on, like... on sort of just whatever drifts through his brain. And so I believe that he is capable of just getting this idea into his head and just combing the earth until
he's got
he finds
the time.
Him. Like radar. Yeah, what else is... He's not raising Gohan.
No, hell no. Absolutely not.
Chi-Chi's all over that. He's not needed there.
No.
You say Chi-Chi's all over that, but Chi-Chi's barely on that.
Well, she's doing the bare minimum, and Goku's only there because he thought that wedding was a kind of food. Let's not forget about that.
I have always wondered how she tricked him into sex.
Twice. But we'll get to that. At least twice. Speaking of Chi-Chi, she reminds Goku that today is the reunion at Master Roshi's house. Goku forgot about his own reunion with his friends, the only people in the world that he knows.
It's sort of a weird idea. Like, well, I guess not. Like reunion of friends, sure, but it is a bizarre sort of class reunion that they are trying to do.
At this point, we're just trying to keep everyone together as best we can.
Yes.
We fought. Some of us may have died. You know, it's whatever.
He's bringing Gohan with him. Chi-Chi is not going.
For some reason.
She doesn't like class reunions, you know.
Or Roshi. And, you know...
That's good reason.
Gohan has been lost in the woods. This is how we're introduced to Gohan.
It's like a... Since I'm also watching Dragon Ball Original just to kind of refresh my brain, it's a poetry. It rhymes.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Because in Dragon Ball OG... little kid Goku's walking around the woods, minding his own business, gets attacked by a saber-toothed cat, and just whoops it without any effort.
It's such a contrast
to Gohan,
like night and day. These two,
who is cowering, afraid, just runs into the worst shit ever.
He's a sensitive boy.
Is it the same kind of cat?
Yeah, big old no. Big ol' mountain lion.
Nice.
Saber-toothed mountain lion.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is... I don't know what he was doing out there in the woods. That was my question. Like, why is he there?
How did he get so far away from their house?
Yep, miles.
Yeah.
He's four.
Because he, like, his math homework is still open.
And they drive home very, very thoroughly that he is an absolute coward.
Yeah, coddled.
He's just pathetic.
Miserable.
So
forgot
what drove
how much he sucks in the beginning.
Very cute costume, though.
Yeah, it's a good look.
How did he get that Dragon Ball in that hat?
How does it stay?
Hot glue. You know, just hot glue.
Asked and answered.
It's just what we had around.
Foolish me.
It's all the tree sap from the very big trees that Goku fights.
Well, I better use this for something.
While Gohan is lost in the woods, we cut away to a farmer, I guess.
I love this man.
What is he doing?
He's farming. He's minding his own business.
He's being the backbone of his country.
He's being
what is he a farmer of?
Crops.
He's got. I gotta look.
He's got like birds.
Yeah, I gotta like Google.
Hey,
he did have sheep with him, right? Maybe he was just herding.
He's ranching some like those bizarre hairless chocobo type creatures.
He has need. Yeah, he's raising those apparently, and he has some need for a shotgun.
You know.
To be close at hand, and I don't know when he would be using it other than to kill rats.
It looks like a shotgun.
Other than the massive mountain lions surrounding the countryside.
That is true. This is a world of dinosaurs and monsters.
This is a world of Jurassic Park.
So it is maybe just wise for him to have that on hand.
I'm coming to the theory that just all citizens are just casually packing heat as they go about their lives.
I mean, like, guns are meaningless at this point in the timeline. Like, guns stopped mattering in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Guns barely mattered then.
Yeah.
When Goku just learned to ignore them, basically.
They just take...
When Launch would just shoot Roshi, Goku, and Krillin.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was a woman in Dragon Ball who shot people, and it was a joke.
It was just a fun game.
They would be covered in bullet holes.
They would be bleeding and perforated, and
what
it would be like,
what a gnarly prank.
Insert audience laughter here.
Now, I have an image of this farmer, and he's forking hay into the back of his pickup truck.
Okay.
Yes.
Or the reverse, by those big, big pink sort of rooster ostriches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
what
those
are called.
Are they
free range? Is that what's going on? It, like, he's bringing hay to them?
They sure look free range. I don't see a fence.
Aren't they that bird in Fern Gully?
Oh, God.
Is there a crossover somewhere?
Is there a cannon?
Fern Gully bird?
God, those are huge. They're unnaturally pink, too.
Oh,
I don't,
my gosh. They are not unlike each other, I'll tell you that.
I don't like it.
That is well spotted. They are not colored the same. I think in Fern Gully, they're supposed to be cassowaries.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
Which are mean. But yeah, maybe these are bright pink cassowaries. Did he do that to them? Are they not supposed to be like that?
Well, a steady diet of Pepto-Bismol will do wonders.
The farmer's work is interrupted by something falling out of the sky.
Very mysterious.
Which he goes to investigate.
Now, I have written my notes here. It says, DBZ Abridge has ruined this scene.
Now, enlighten us as to why. It's been a while since I've gone that far back.
It's just the mute the da 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 music and
yeah.
Just saying protect my gun.
The gun does not do that.
No.
As we are introduced, how much future knowledge do you guys want to put in? Should I stop beating around the bush and just say this is Raditz?
Yeah, just
it's Raditz.
It.
We know we're gonna
we know
get
who
there
this
soon
is.
Enough.
This is Raditz.
Yeah, there's gonna be a fair bit of like foreknowledge.
The only man who can pull off a garter belt.
For whoever listens to this, you should not listen to this as a replacement.
A primer
for Dragon Ball Z. You should just watch the show and
go watch the show,
watch
then come
us.
To us.
Watch it with us.
This is 100% supplemental.
Yes.
Yeah, there are spoilers aplenty to come.
Yeah. We're assuming this is Wilver's territory for you.
So this farmer, he's doing the best he can. Even at a measly power level 5.
Which is good information for us.
Good information because it introduces us to a concept that's going to follow us into the grave.
And just gives us perspective on, like, what is my power level or your power level? It's probably around 5.
Yeah.
How bad are these dudes that we're going to watch punch each other?
An armed farmer.
Very bad.
There are people who would argue that this is the moment that Dragon Ball Z was ruined,
mm-hmm.
the second they introduced numbers.
Friend, I am not one of them. I eat this shit up.
Well, that's where we get the idea of, like,
a good power level.
Mm-hmm. Of, like, of the whole power creep thing, right?
Yeah, like chase the numbers.
This show is just power level inflation.
Yes, hyperinflation.
Basically.
Dragon Ball Z was the first clicker I played just by watching it.
Basically.
I just gotta see those numbers get higher.
His number is bigger than his number. But if you combine these two together, their number is bigger than his number.
The number goes up and then loses its value, right? Like, you know, there's the big, you know, over 9,000 scene that, mm-hmm. that became yeah. the meme. And mm-hmm. and then after a certain time, like, those 9,000 PowerPoints are worthless.
Yeah.
It's like 1930s Germany.
It's exactly like that.
Exactly like it.
It's exactly like you can't code. Like you can't get anything with those 9,000 PowerPoints anymore. They get you nowhere.
Can't even get a stick of gum with that.
Frieza's at a million. Who cares about 9,000?
9,000 PowerPoints can't even get you down the street.
Like it doesn't get you through Namek.
No.
No.
Gets your ass beat on Namek.
Doesn't even get you a cup of coffee.
Goldo could beat you.
True.
I wonder if they should try to, like, level out their PowerPoints economy at some point. Like, I feel like I was waiting for that plot device that would kind of, like, seek to reset things a little bit.
You're waiting
bit.
For the market to crash.
Yeah, and I don't, at least to my knowledge, maybe it came after, like, after the stuff I don't really remember, but I don't think it ever came, right? Like, it has been pure escalation.
Not for Z.
No.
Not for Z.
I think it could be argued for Super once yeah. deities become involved.
Sure, but even that is, like, another form of just escalation, right?
I guess. I see it as a new plateau.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
So this is Raditz. This is a Saiyan. Yeah. Space, who has come seeking Goku.
The Radical Raditz.
And as far as we know, this is their first, like, known alien contact, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so.
Without future retcons.
Right.
Yes. Bulma, because Bulma's met an alien before, as a child.
But as far as we know, from this vantage point, this is the first
contact.
Here's my question.
Is Farmer v. Alien.
Is, do you think, people who have been watching Dragon Ball this whole time and being yeah. into the whole fantasy, adventure comic style, Sun Wukong journey, how do you think they felt when they just were completely thrown for a loop? And guess what? Now it's actually sci-fi.
I actually looked this one up and they hated it at first.
Really?
Yeah.
The twist was too twisty.
It's like, no. No, Goku is magic. He's not an alien.
Surprise, actually, you're wrong. He's an alien this whole time. But I guess we'll get into that when we hit episode.
I believe the tone very quickly turned once the story got going. There's a running theme of the Dragon Ball / Dragon Ball Z community hating everything at first.
Uh-huh.
And then begrudgingly accepting it. And then, like, been talking about it like they always loved it from the very beginning.
A talking cat? Get out of here. No.
Talking about Poir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Poir's voice is horrible. And that never changes. It's true on first appearance and it is true today.
Poir's everything is kind of terrible.
Poir makes unholy noises.
Poir, wait, is Poir a girl? I don't remember.
Poir is
Clyde?
I think that's the implication.
Okay.
Never verified.
Poir is the greatest villain of that series.
Secretly?
Yeah. It's not
a power
good.
That surpasses even King Piccolo?
It's not good. Yeah.
This power level. This Poir level.
This Poir level.
Poir is just one of very, very many things that are just thrown at you with zero explanation and zero intent of explanation.
Oh, God, yes. If you're coming into this fresh out of the oven, no Dragon Ball.
Oh, even in Dragon Ball.
Even still. Like, it's like, here's this talking cat. Here's this talking turtle. Yep. Do you need a reason? No.
What's their story? Who cares?
So the only closing note I have for episode one, important question. Are we allowed to swear? Is this a swearing kind of
yeah,
show?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Fuck it.
What the fuck are these credits?
Put your gosh darns and ding dangs in there.
You're jumping ahead a little bit.
Am I? I'm sorry.
For the end of episode one. I got thoughts
you have
on
thoughts.
Some other stuff.
You have thoughts, feelings, opinions, and notions.
Yeah.
We haven't even met the green guy.
The green one.
Big green.
Let that child alone.
As they call him.
Yeah, so we head back to Gohan. The four-star ball hat has been stolen by a tiger. I have notes that say Gohan flirts with a bird and falls in a river.
My note for that is Gohan just embraces the void, I guess. Because there's a point at which he is plummeting from a cliff and he just kind of falls asleep halfway through.
Yeah.
And I have my next two impeccable parenting notes from Goku back to back for this sequence. Because first he lets his son fall off a damn waterfall when he could have easily caught him. That cloud goes faster than that river. You can't fucking fool me.
We know you watched this, Goku.
Yeah. And second, after he catches him, he then gaslights his son about where his hat is. Because he tells him it's been on his head the whole time. Great job, Goku.
This is a red flag.
I mean, it doesn't get better. No. from that point, like, his parenting, I mean, not great in general, we know this, but like the specific events are not going to improve a lot.
This is not the first time Goku will literally bully his own child.
Yeah, he will set the bar on the ground and then dive into the dirt beneath it.
it's
shoot a Kamehameha at it.
It's worth talking about, like, is Goku a good guy?
Well,
I don't believe so.
I'm not sure. I think he has some good qualities.
Well, here's
I'm not sure that he's overall a good dude.
He has good intent.
His good intentions.
And that's about it. That's about as far as it goes.
That is apparently all Flying Nimbus needs to justify having Goku ride on it. Because you need a pure of heart to ride that cloud.
That is true.
And, but... and the Nimbus is like, well, he's trying his best. I guess it's fine.
Like, he exists to eat and to beat ass. Like, those are the two things that he is concerned about. Like, he's not, I don't know that he's necessarily, like, great. He just really, really wants to fight things.
Yeah.
And I think he needs that outlet, and punching trees is not doing it for him.
He's got this weird dichotomy where he's filled with malice, but he has zero hate.
It's called fighting spirit.
Yeah. It's miraculous that his good-hearted friends have just sort of been able to steer him into the bad dudes to punch.
Yes.
God, right?
Like, Goku is a giant fist that will not stop, and he does occasionally need to be aimed.
You need to course correct.
Yes, that he doesn't, I don't know, plow through his child.
At the end of this episode is when we meet Big Green, Piccolo.
Big Green.
And Gordy and I both took note of this, his introduction. Like, what's he up to? He's just kind of standing and staring.
Yeah. Just on a cliff.
It's
just thinking about killing Goku.
Like, he's not even meditating. He's just standing and staring.
It's Piccolo's cliff time.
It's a very convenient dramatic landscape in front of him, like, when this scene goes down. I don't blame him for just taking a moment to kind of take it in. If that's what he's doing, like, I would buy
just this beautiful vista.
It'd be nice to know. He doesn't strike me as a sightseer for the most part. So I do want to know, yeah, what's Big Green up to? What is his game in this moment?
And he runs into Raditz, who thought he was Goku based on his power level.
Or Raditz runs into him.
Yes, rather.
He sensed him.
And Piccolo whiffs his attack. And that's the end of my notes for episode one.
I have down that this is the first instance of, oh no, this bad guy is stronger than anyone we've seen before. It even has Piccolo saying, I used my strongest attack and it did nothing.
Nothing!
It is,
my big item, my big attack.
It is the show in a microcosm, I think.
Right.
Like, and a dynamic without which anime would not exist, which is that, that like, oh, like, I went all out. Surely he's defeated. But what?
But,
it
no!
didn't even phase him.
Nothing.
Like, the show is basically that repeat. Like, just keep doing that over and over and over again.
Is this our first dust clearing? Is that what happens?
I think so.
You could argue that, yes.
Unless does the farmer get one for Raditz?
Not for the bullet. He catches
no,
the bullet.
That's right.
The dust cleared, but the farmer was definitely dead.
And the farmer gets killed pretty, like, kind of in broad daylight.
No one will mourn him.
Does he get killed? I thought he got, like, knocked out by just slamming into a car like an idiot. I don't think
he got a bullet tossed at him.
True. Well, it hit his, like, gun hand and shattered the gun, we see.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're not sure.
Well, my headcanon, now that you bring it up, is that the farmer's fine.
He's fine. He was laid up in the hospital for a few weeks, but...
It's a rookie mistake, Raditz. You gotta double tap.
Yeah.
Or double sundae.
Now he's living. Yeah, or he got double a double sundae.
Fucking A.
God. Double sundae. The best attack.
Yeah, maybe worth talking about. I don't know if we should do it yet, but we should talk about Raditz's moveset at some point. Is that good to do now?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah,
I will go ahead and say I was a little disappointed. I didn't get the dub that's where he says, I call this attack, keep your eye on the birdie. I really wanted to go into the dichotomy of flash photography with Saiyans.
Well, here's your fucking soapbox, dude.
Well, it turns out it's the wrong dub, so it doesn't matter.
Jason, you had thoughts on the outro.
The fuck are these credits, Tyler? These are my thoughts.
That's your note?
Yeah, it's my note. That's all I have. I was looking at the... We got the... In the Funimation Now dub, we've got these Japanese credits with subtitles up to and including the line, here comes a chestnut-smelling alien.
Yes, that's the moment where I was on board.
Okay. This was completely remiss from my experience growing up.
I don't think Toonami aired that version.
Oh, none of that. And that's all I had for episode one.
I just considered this a continuation of the theme of Gohan going on wild drug trips that was established in the Dead Zone.
Yeah.
He did.
His special drink.
Yep. Yes.
Where in which he took a wild and long piss on Krillin.
Oh, please
just
let
the
me,
raunchiest piss.
Let me hold on to the phrase wild piss and just let me just fold it up and hold it close to my heart as long as I can.
You gotta put that in Gohan's baby book is his first attack. Wild piss.
Wild piss. We should do just an entire special on Dead Zone at one point.
Maybe we'll dip into the movies.
It is canon, after all.
That brings us to episode two, though, which is entitled Reunions. My first note, Raditz continues to yell about a man named Kakarot while pictures of Goku flash on the screen. Is this a coincidence?
We're not sure.
I have a lot of notes that have me just asking, is Raditz just as stupid as Goku?
I mean, they have to be, right?
Signs point to yes.
Raditz seems like he knows what's going on, though.
But also a lot of the things he says are just wrong.
Give me an example.
Let's see. He says Planet Vegeta was destroyed 3 years ago by a meteorite.
As far as he knows.
When in actuality, it was destroyed 12 years ago by Frieza.
Yeah, maybe numbers is just no good.
Yeah, numbers are not that great for Saiyans.
They're not good at that as a family or
hello,
a species.
Hello, Kakarot. I'm Raditz, and I'm this many.
Everyone from space seems to be bad at numbers, because Frieza's not good at them either.
There's also the fact that Vegeta and Nappa just kind of make fun of him behind his back.
Right, yeah.
They're not good at numbers, and yet their entire universe revolves around whose number is higher.
True. They're like... so bad at numbers they need to build machines to tell them what number everyone is.
Gordy, you just shattered my reality. Are these numbers even reliable?
Are they accurate? Because they're so bad at calculating them. I mean, scouters are Saiyan technology, right? Do other people...
Well,
I mean,
it's Frieza Force technology.
Is it Frieza?
Saiyans can't make shit. They're stupid.
But it does.
They only have one scientist.
And he's dead.
I mean, maybe that is why everybody is so incredulous all the time as to the results.
What?
Of things. It's like, no, this can't be.
500?
Maybe it's because all their power levels are fucking wrong.
It's just junk.
Are they just
all spiking randomly? Is Vegeta at, like, the 7-Eleven, and he's just like, this Yoohoo is 900? I don't understand.
I can't afford this.
I think at this point we're introduced to the crew over at the Kame House. Unless anybody else has thoughts on Raditz and his rambling.
I mean, not to spoil it, Raditz isn't going to be around that long.
What?
That's why he's got to shine now.
He's got to shine now. I do think, you tell me if this is a good segment or not, but like the first time we are introduced to a new character, should we run through their moveset just to get an idea of what they're capable of?
Do you have his pulled up?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get the wiki up for this.
I do. I am on dbmoves.wikia.com, which I assume some choice Raditz moves.
He's calendar themed, right?
He's calendar themed, which is, I mean, it's kind of fun, I guess. this site lists, I'm just going to pick a few out, weekly special. Mm-hmm. super fun. Dynamite Monday.
just another Dynamite Monday.
Saturday Crush and Shining Friday. Double Sunday. The rest of the weeks or days of the week don't get one. And then there's a few in here. Like one is just called Behind You. Raditz faces away from his opponent, then kicks out behind as they close in, sending them rolling away.
That's just kicking.
Is this for like games specifically?
Yeah, I don't think that was intended to be a special move. He just yelled behind you before he kicked them.
He just went, gotcha.
A lot of these are from the fighting games.
Yeah. The fine folks at the DB Moves Wikia are just doing their due diligence.
Exactly. Yeah.
They don't have much to work with this character, so they're just grabbing it what they can.
Double Sunday is the one we're going to see shortly in this series.
Can we right now, as a think tank, come up with a better name for Behind You that is week-themed? I'm going to submit Whoopso Wednesday.
that's pretty good. We need one for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. One of those don't have
terrible Tuesday is just too easy.
Terrible Tuesday. Faces away, kicks out behind as they close
faces
in.
Faces away. Does it have to be alliterative?
Throwback Thursday.
Throwback
I've already
Thursday.
Forgotten. Yeah. Pretty good. Does he have a move for Friday and is it freaky?
It's Shining Friday.
It is Shining.
From Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. Mm. Exclusive to Dragon Ball Z Burst Limit and Xenoverse 2. So some of these are from the games, but it's all...
Like we said, we're making our own canon. Yeah. All the best pieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And these are pretty good move names, like Begone, Great Ape, Gigantic Rock Throw.
That's not even a move. You just throw a rock.
Yeah, it's pretty straight up.
Is the throw gigantic or is the rock gigantic?
Yes.
Or do they not need to be exclusive?
It's one of the Great Ape Raditz's Blast 2 in the Budokai Tenkaichi series, the best video games ever made.
Solid.
Yeah, that just gives you an idea of his capabilities.
Sure.
That is my purpose here.
Let's keep moving on this episode.
Yeah.
We barely dipped in.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep things moving a little bit.
I have that Bulma and Yamcha are on the rocks.
It turns out to be a sad reunion.
Yeah.
Yes, very. I have like three people show up.
Because some of the shitty ones didn't even show up.
Yamcha wasn't invited. Bulma didn't tell him.
Yamcha's scum is the thing. Yamcha is just a scummy boy.
Which is a weird character turn for him.
Scummy boy?
He's a scummy boy. Look, I wrote it
down.
He was
a desert thief.
Yamcha is scum. It's in the notes. He's running around. He's giving Bulma the runaround. You do not give Bulma briefs. You do not get Miss Bulma briefs the runaround. You do not make her a runaround Sue. She is an heir to a industrial dynasty.
Basically the only one we know of.
And soon Galactic Dynasty.
Yeah, and this is how you treat her. No, I don't think so.
Jason, hit us up with some fashion.
Let's see. I took a screenshot of Bulma entering the door because her outfit is everything.
Love the blazer.
Love it, gal.
It's a good blazer.
Yes,
it's
ma'am.
It's a big blazer. It's a very confident blazer.
She is. She has got the shoulders. She just got back from a meeting, is what she did. and with that ocean blue top, and I think she's rocking the short hair again, and I appreciate that about her.
Yeah, that's a good look.
It is.
I think it's the first time. You see where it's
for the short hair?
Yeah.
I think so. Oh, I don't remember any of the Dragon Ball stuff, but...
If I remember right, in Dragon Ball, she always rocked a ponytail or, like, shoulder length at least.
What about First World Tournament? Am I crazy?
Maybe. Do you think she dyes it, or do you think that's a natural hue?
No, that's au naturel.
That is pure uncut Bulma.
Which is weird, because neither of her parents have that hair color.
True. Well, that's what you get when you mix yellow and, like, mauve.
Mauve? Sure.
That's how colors work.
Does anything consequential happen before Raditz shows up? I did not write down like anything. I think there's a Roshi pervert joke.
Roshi's a pervert. Yeah.
For old time's sake, there's, you know, some...
my next impeccable parenting note, Goku brings Gohan to meet a sex offender.
Yep.
True. Absolutely true. Yep. The only other note I had was a translation note because Bulma was apparently, according to Roshi, bringing over a box of truffles. And upon opening the box, turns out they're just full-on dumplings.
Okay.
Just dumplings.
Donuts.
Donuts. Jelly donuts.
My favorite. And also, Roshi gets a flashback once Raditz shows up.
Yeah, we get to see Grandpa Gohan.
Yes.
Yeah, this is something that kind of bugged me. Roshi knew that Goku was an alien from the beginning.
Yeah, he just kind of forgot.
No, I don't just think he forgot. Just didn't tell anybody. He was like, this is better to keep to myself.
I've missed a lot of Dragon Ball OG. Is this the first time we actually see what Grandpa Gohan looks like on screen?
No. Goku even fights
him. He is in Dragon Ball, I think.
Okay. But yeah, this is when the tables turn, and it turns out this Journey to the West allegory is actually a twisted sci-fi karate tournament, and I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Superman.
Absolutely. I will also note that every shot that Raditz is in is very tastefully done so that we never actually see Raditz's full crotch. And what do I have here?
I would argue unfortunately done.
I have right here, show us his dick, you cowards.
Just go ahead and do it.
Just do it. The proud Saiyan codpiece.
We know his balls are hanging out. You cannot lie to us.
Very upsetting to think about.
I mean, they're a proud warrior race. Those are space kilts, maybe?
They conquer planets nuts out.
Much like the Spartans they were inspired by.
True.
They prefer to fight in the nude.
And speaking of balls, Goku has the 3, 4, and 6-star balls that he's just been collecting.
That he's collected because he's jobless.
For fun. For funsies.
For funsies, yeah.
During his 5-year era of peace.
So it's at this point that we discover that Kakarot is in fact Goku, and he is brothers with Raditz. What's up with these names, guys?
Long lost brothers.
Kakarot and Raditz?
Yeah.
Suddenly they're vegetables.
It means Mr. Toriyama was enjoying a fine salad while making these characters.
You're probably not wrong.
It's a pretty wild one to go for, though. Like, of all the naming conventions you could
that he comes
pick
up with?
Like, yeah, why?
I've always wondered if he regrets that.
No, I don't think so.
Fuck, I've run out of vegetables.
You can never run out of vegetables.
I don't know that you create a show like Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z without knowing what you want from it. Like, fights take 5+ episodes sometimes. Uh-huh. I think it's because you want it that way.
I don't know if this fact would shock you or not, but a lot of Dragon Ball is just done off the top of Toriyama's head.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Absolutely believe it.
I'm not here for the narrative. I'm here for the characters. Because they're interesting.
Yeah.
And speaking of good characters, I wrote down Goku's first catchphrase, which he utters, which is, "My name is Goku and I live here."
I like it's a good catchphrase. States name, occupation.
He basically ASLs his brother.
He does, and we get kind of the same from Raditz.
Goku really does just have the mentality of a 5-year-old.
He does.
My name is Goku and I live here.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention Gohan specifically is 4 years old.
He's going to be an orthopedist.
Yes, and he's going to be an orthopedist.
That's true. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
We got a quick glimpse of his homework at 4.
Yeah, what was that like?
Refreshers. Does look like some geometry going on.
It looks intense.
It's like some full-on, like, pre-calc.
It is not something for a 4-year-old to be doing.
He might be beyond genius-level intellect at this point.
Chi-Chi just wants a really smart kid.
If Goku was not his father, how smart would he be?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
That's a what-if story.
That is, yeah. We're talking about galactic conquest at this point.
If Chi-Chi decided to breed on sort of a wider scale.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to run through a list of characters that are eligible for this.
Really smart.
I'm not running on any good options.
If Broly was his dad, could he be dumber?
He could.
How much lower can he go?
He could.
He would certainly be more. He would definitely be buffer.
Broly was not a character that I actually experienced. I only experienced him via action figure.
That's about what he is. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I just remember, like, holding the golden Super Saiyan Broly, and I'm like, this guy looks so badass, I can't wait to see what he's in. And then never actually watching what he was from.
Gordy, I have a note that sort of corroborates a point that you brought up earlier about Raditz's intelligence level.
Yeah.
Because after he tells his story, he mentions, I remembered you, Goku, or Kakarot.
Yeah.
Because they needed 4 Saiyans for their next job.
Yeah.
That they're going to pull off. He forgot he had a brother.
I guess, like, you know.
Until they needed more than four Saiyans at one time.
He is driven by similar things. Fight and eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think. We don't get to see much of the eating, but yeah, his cognitive functions sort of kick in when there is a need for more fight that he can't get to right now, and so his brain starts to work at, like, how can I get to more fight?
How can I put more fight in this? Oh, wait! I have a brother.
I wish I could have seen Vegeta's reaction to him saying that.
Yeah, we need a cutaway of Vegeta just, like, sneezing somewhere. So Raditz decides to offer his brother an ultimatum, which is to join him and to prove his loyalty by killing 100 humans.
Just murder.
Pile the bodies on that island.
Pile them on the beach.
And I'll count them.
Yeah, that got metal real quick. Real quick.
Also, I'll point my scouter at it. It's very, very accurate.
It's big on numbers.
Quick calculations. And he kidnaps Gohan. Mm. And my last note for this second episode is that Raditz stands on a beach and lasts for like 2 minutes.
A long ass time.
Before we cut away to the end credits.
He was just thinking of a really funny joke.
I did write down that when Raditz is approaching, it looks like the turtle can feel Raditz approaching in the same way.
Oh, that's
that
right.
Goku
they show
can.
A reaction shot from Turtle.
And he does notice it before Roshi. For whatever that is worth.
True.
Turtle was always, like, the wise one.
which
some reason.
Might answer why he's on that island.
I think Goku can sense energy. Oh, wait, no, he does sense Raditz coming as well.
Mm-hmm. And he gets super mad real quick, and everybody's like, ah!
Huh? What?
Horrible power!
Moving on to episode 3. The final one for this week is Unlikely Alliance. And my very first note is a continuity error, because in between episodes, Goku got kicked into the ocean.
Yeah,
he slid a bit, you know.
Because the last episode, he was knocked down on the beach, but now he's facing the other way and in the water.
Well, the tide came in and just dragged him out a bit between episodes.
Oh, yeah, I have a note here that says, for some reason, I thought the theme song wouldn't suck this time.
The only note I have here is Goku's hair is just the Mickey Mouse of this anime, the Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah, it really is.
The iconic look.
It's like, it points...
It goes one way.
It can only point one way.
I felt very bad for Gohan's voice actor this episode.
Cannot stop crying.
Nah, just straight crying and, like, underneath everybody talking.
Screaming.
So there was no breaks, they just kept going.
His ass off for 2 minutes straight.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention on the last episode, I really loved the bit of Gohan constantly running over to Goku's leg and Goku pushing away. Get the fuck off me, Gohan!
Yeah, more great parenting. Shoving him in the head.
Oh god.
A 4-year-old.
With, as we'll soon find out, is a 50-pound boot. A note that I have here is that apparently Raditz smells very bad, according to Goku.
Yeah, he's got a stink to him.
How long has he been in that pod, is my question.
Space travel takes a while.
Even at FTL speeds. But yes, apparently Raditz smells very bad. Came out of that little orb kind of cheesy, you know?
I have another note. How does flying work in this world? Why does Raditz why do Raditz's feet stay like he's standing on something?
It's an awkward posing. It's kind of odd that they don't go for like a superhero kind of pose, like one leg kicked up or something.
They
just kind of splay him out.
So by the time we start with Dragon Ball Z, Goku is flying around everywhere. He's doing all of his travel right now via Nimbus, and we know that by around the end, literally everyone's flying. Has there any precedent to just like random key flying levitation stuff in Dragon Ball that occurred? Or is this the first time we're just seeing a man fly?
I don't think there's any, like,
the first person to fly.
Is he? I don't uh-huh. Is there any, like, straight up flying though?
I mean, Piccolo flies.
Yeah. Oh, does he?
Yeah, you're right. And he can fly now.
It just seems like
I only know this because I'm, like, mildly obsessed with preaching Tien.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's the first for a lot of things, and just kind of, like, people just steal that from him.
Was he the first flyer?
Yes.
Ah, whom we have not met yet as well.
Yeah.
Who is this Tien of which you speak? I do not know.
I remember in Dragon Ball, Goku used his feet to do a Kamehameha once.
Yeah.
Oh.
To propel and then, himself.
And then went through an alien stomach with his head.
Whimsical, magical, that adventure.
Very. for children.
In this episode, we get our first mention of a concept that will continue on throughout the rest of the series, which is that of Saiyan pride.
Saiyan pride!
Because as Goku grovels in the water, Raditz says to him, please, brother, show some pride.
It is their favorite sin.
They love it. They can't get enough.
Do you think pride
is their second favorite word after punch?
Do you think pride is maybe like some kind of an energy drink on their home world that they just chug when they're trying to get hyped up for a battle or an explosion battle?
It's their Gatorade.
Yeah, instead of chugging a monster before you go into work.
I'd like a tall glass of Saiyan pride.
It's the only way I'm getting through this day.
Only one flavor. Punch.
Raditz flies off with Gohan, and our heroes try to decide what they want to do about this situation. Roshi and Krillin are deciding whether or not they want to help out, and Goku has to remind them that they've died already, and the dragon with the balls, the titular dragon balls, won't grant the same wish twice.
Yes, this is a concept I do not remember. So we've got rules.
It's going to be thrown away.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well,
we're going to forget this.
Good.
It's important for right now and only now.
All
right.
So as we understand them,
since Dead Zone is once again canon, that means that Garlic Jr.'s wish for immortality means that nobody else can wish for it, which was what Vegeta wanted to wish for.
Right.
So
that would be a rude fucking awakening.
Well, is it?
By
is
the
it,
way,
is it no one else can get immortality, or the same person? Like, you can't use the wish applied to the same person more than
that. It must be the same person.
Because they've brought multiple people back to life. Mm-hmm. It just applies to different
Goku
people.
Goku just worded it weird. Mm-hmm. And also wrong.
Yeah.
Also wrong. As he often is.
Eventually, we also get to run into this unnatural allegiance. This unexpected allegiance.
Big Green shows up.
Big Green.
Nobody sensed him coming.
No. Not the turtle.
No, Turtle didn't sense Big Green. He offers a truce, a temporary truce, to fight Raditz.
To which a kid watching the show for the first time would have no context as to what this was happening.
I mean, I was a kid watching the show for the first time, and I'm like, yeah, that green guy's bad.
Yeah.
Look at his face. He's a bad man.
He's got pointy ears and everything. He must be evil.
I don't trust him, but I guess Goku does. Piccolo's motivation for helping out is that if he can't take over the world, no one can.
Which is certainly a motivation that he'll just keep continuing to proceed with. One of these notes I remember was a really great line from Piccolo that says, I could care less what happens about your son.
Solid dude, that Piccolo. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Really sticks to his guns.
Now, to be fair, Goku did kill his dad.
True. But isn't it like his dad is like also him? Is Piccolo like a father-son Holy Ghost sort of thing, where he is his
No, his real name is Piccolo Jr., but they just kind of stopped calling him Jr.
Or Ma Jr.
Yeah, that was another one.
Colloquially.
Esquire. DDS.
So, like,
Dr. Piccolo,
even though they're,
DDS.
Like, constantly being like, Kami and Piccolo are the same person, really, Kami's kind of like his uncle.
Namekian lineage is a strange tree to gaze upon.
A lumpy tree.
Yeah, it's a Lovecraftian tree. Mm-hmm. Branches
gnarled,
every which way.
Gnarled, twisted.
So our two heroes fly off together to go intercept Raditz and beat him up.
Raditz,
get a boy back.
Meanwhile, going full Solid Snake, or rather Naked Snake in the jungle, eating just whatever he catches.
Next
time I'll cook the meat. Like, okay. Work, I guess. Shit.
Well, he had to try it. He's never been to this planet.
I've not had snake before.
Maybe we have pre-cooked animals.
You can't know until you try.
Exactly. He has an appetite for adventure and spice and... He's just ready to live, laugh, love, and try whatever, you know, comes his way.
He would be the type to have that poster up.
The live, laugh, love poster?
Live, laugh, love. Yeah. Loves to laugh.
It's in his pod.
Loves to laugh.
He does. That's his, like, favorite thing. It's in his pod.
On the other side, it's the cat. It's the kitten with the hang in there.
He's got some some Elizabeth Gilbert wisdom plastered on the inside.
Eat, pray, conquer.
It's a good episode title.
I can honestly envision him reading self-help or self-actualizing books the way that his two comrades treat him.
Because he's
just because they can literally grow people as strong as me doesn't mean I'm useless. I'm somebody, damn it.
I am okay, and I am okay being okay. My power level may not be as high.
And it's that... his morning, like, what am I going for?
He's got morning affirmation, like, meditation tapes.
His ritual in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I am somebody.
My power level is my own.
I matter.
You got this, Big Rad.
Big Rad. I have a note that says Raditz hates trucks because he picks one up and blows it up for, like, apparently just to make Gohan cry.
Yeah, that's the same truck, too.
Try to make him shut up, I think. That was my impression, like, child, mm-hmm. be quiet or I'll do this to you, and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're this truck.
Shit, he's crying more.
Oh, no. This is the opposite.
I'm not good at this.
Maybe I can get some tips from Kakarot on how to parent.
I'll just shove him in the soundproof pod.
Which apparently reeks. It is a dank orb.
It is a dank orb.
Piccolo and Goku show up, and their pitiful power levels are raised ever so slightly when they shed their weighted clothing.
Yes, which I have written down. He's got a 30-pound shirt, two 50-pound boots. His
two little fibers.
Two little fibers on his hands.
Two little fibers.
It makes his power level go up fairly significantly, too. Yeah, more than I thought.
An important note, before this happened, he also looked into the pod, into the dank orb, and noticed a huge spike of power level coming from within.
Yeah, that is true. That is important to mention.
This thing must be busted.
Must be broken, the scouter. And as we're going to find out in this show, apparently half Saiyan kids, insanely strong.
Yeah. They got more S cells.
That's not a thing. Do they have more midichlorians?
Half Saiyan kids, you said?
Yeah. We'll see them pulling off nonsense bullshit within the first 10 years of life that it took these full-blooded Saiyans well into adulthood to figure out. But you could also, argue that they just had really good mentors.
There's also a precedent said that that's just a thing that Saiyans do. Because, like, throughout Dragon Ball, there were constant proclamations like, oh, no, Goku did this thing in one day that took me 300 years.
What?
There's a lot of that from Roshi.
It took me 50 years to make the Kamehameha, and he did it in one try.
Yeah, Dragon Ball really should have just been called Roshi's Lament.
Yeah.
Because it is his life's work being undone by a child constantly.
Yeah.
Yep. But also, he can't be too mad because he knows it's an alien.
But just kind of forgot about
just
it.
Just didn't want to tell anyone.
He wanted to keep up the prestige. He wanted to raise him, or not raise him, but, just have him be a normal human-ish child.
Can't break that kayfabe.
No.
I have a note that says Goku is under the impression that he can outsmart an opponent.
This is true.
Because that's his plan with Piccolo.
It's a hopeful thought.
I wanted Piccolo to look into the camera as if he were on The Office at that very moment.
Just deadpan down the camera. Just down the barrel.
All right.
especially given what we know his solution is eventually.
Right.
Like, it's not it's not ideal. We don't really get into the fight that much in this episode.
Not
right?
As of yet. Raditz is very fast. My last note for this episode is that he zips around the heroes and claims to be only warming up, which causes the screen to invert colors.
they freak out at this freak notion. Out.
Warming up?
I believe that was the attack behind you that he used.
He gives him the double Sunday, right?
Oh, you mean whoopsa Wednesday? Or was it throwback Thursday?
Either one.
Yeah.
Either
serve
one
it up twice
well.
A week. It's that delicious.
And this is also the utterance of yet another trope we're going to see a lot. Mm-hmm. Which is the I'm just warming up.
I'm barely getting started. My question is this. He's got all these weak-based powers. Do you think his least favorite is Dynamite Monday?
He doesn't use it that often.
No.
Loves Sunday.
Loves it. Mm-hmm.
That's the one everyone knows.
That's his fun day.
That's the Lord's day.
Yeah. It's his day of rest. And he gets double, so it's great.
That's Kami's day.
That's Kami's day.
Oh, no.
We're going to set the pace for what fights are like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is very
That's
exciting.
True.
I mean, the fights in and of themselves are very cyclical in that it's just like, just warming up. What? My strongest attack. Turns out, new power. Ah, you beat me. We, in a Sisyphean way, we will be pushing that boulder back up soon enough, and I cannot wait to do so. because there are going to be some certain, like, fight tropes that pop-up that I'm just gonna love and cherish.
And also, much like the Greek classics, people just can come back from hell, so death doesn't really matter.
Before we sign off until next week, we want to introduce a couple of...
Until next time.
There's some things that we as a crew, before starting this podcast, discussed that we wanted to keep sort of juggled in the air. Mm-hmm. Like, keep track of some things.
Yeah.
I am interested in what Mr. Satan's up to at this point. A character that will not be introduced for sagas yet. But we have to assume that he is alive and doing things in the background. And doesn't just appear out of Toriyama's forehead.
Yeah. Fully formed, like Athena.
Yeah, when he's introduced, they do say he's won numerous martial arts tournaments. So
yeah, he's like a big champion, right?
Yeah,
got all that prize money. He's probably got his own, like, you know, brand of shampoo, everything.
I would like to ask you guys, at this point in Dragon Ball, do you think he has started his fighting career? Is he training in a dojo?
I say yes.
I think he must be. Yeah,
he's learning Dynamite Kick,
mm-hmm. and he's using it to retire Bacterion.
Yeah, he's gonna finally take him down.
Somebody's got to.
Because in this 5-year era of peace, did Goku really participate in any other martial arts tournaments, or was he just kind of off training with trees? Think of the power vacuum waiting to be filled by Hercule Satan.
Now, I have read, and I don't know if you guys have heard this, that Satan isn't his name, it's the name of his dojo.
I have not heard this. Yeah.
I can believe it. He assumes that name when he becomes the champion of it.
So it's a title.
He has achieved the title of Satan.
I'm a 12th level Satan.
12th level Satan.
It's the stripes on his belt.
Yeah.
Just little devil horns.
Oh, that's so fun.
What are the levels before Satan?
Well, you start as goat.
So the Satan gym, are we to assume that by working up your ranks, you're kind of like working your way down the circles of hell itself? Like you're starting in purgatory?
Yes.
We have to assume.
And as you acquire Dan's, you're reaching the city of Dis and then drilling further.
Metaphorically.
So this is the best Satan can offer.
Yeah,
I think... there's a lust belt and a pride belt.
I think he is developing those moves as we speak.
So you don't think he's made like a name for himself yet? He's
I think he might be a few of the people who are really paying attention might know who he is.
Like the
smart bettors would be saying, like, hey, there's this guy named Hercule, you should watch out for
really,
him.
Mm-hmm. He's got a really wicked kick.
He's climbing the ladder,
but not
he's got yeah. a wicked kick.
He's,
wicked
got kick.
A, he's got boy's got quite a kick on him.
He's starting to notice that he's got a really good kick, so now he's practicing it, and also practicing doing it while also saying the name of his move out loud at the same time.
Dynamite kick!
He hasn't gotten the dynamite yet.
Very good kick. Strong good kick.
Yeah, well, we'll go with the Luffy tier list and start with pistol.
Ah, mm-hmm.
pistol kick.
Are we to assume that he has eaten some kind of a fruit?
It's part of his daily regimen.
We could be here all day.
Do you think he's married yet?
That I could not tell you.
Well,
follow-up question, do you think he's divorced?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever had just one wife.
He has left...
He does not strike me as the type.
He has separated with his first wife because she was not on board with his martial arts journey, and he could not have that negativity in his life, so he had to move on and not look back and just chase his truth.
Now, I don't recall if Videl is Gohan's age or younger or older, so let's decide for our own canon. Is she around yet?
I think so. I remember there's a point where they like both go to like high school together way down the line. So I'd put them relatively in the same group. Maybe one or 2 years difference.
So he's definitely married, definitely has Videl, definitely divorced.
Oh yeah, sees Videl on Sundays.
Yes, and definitely working on his kicks.
Yes.
All right, we will check in with Hercule Satan next time. Lastly, let's keep track of those Dragon Balls.
What about those Dragon Balls? Now, this is based entirely
what about
on...
them Dangan Bells?
How about them? Where are they at?
I mean, we know where... Is it 3 or 4 of them are? Because Goku's been finding them.
Goku's got 3, 4, and 6.
Currently, Raditz has the 4.
Well, be true. Raditz has the 4-star now.
He started his journey.
Officially. He doesn't know he started it, but there it goes. And yeah, I don't know where any of the other ones are. I'm not basing any Dragon Ball previous knowledge here.
How many does Pilaf have?
They're in the dead zone right
one.
Now.
There's at least one at the bottom of an ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, always.
I mean, it's going to take some effort to find. I mean, there's a good chance one ends up in an ocean if they just fly out randomly.
I was going to say, depending on
willy-nilly
trajectory, how many of those things just wind up in a ravine?
How many of them kill somebody?
On impact, just through a window.
Man, that is something I have never even considered. It has to have happened.
Has anyone ever been clocked by a flying dragon ball?
All right, this is your local on the eights. Please note that the god Shenron has been summoned and a wish has been fulfilled, so keep an eye out for those dragon balls. They may go careening through your wall.
Wear a helmet. Safety first.
Please, please, please let that be a monkey's paw wish from, like, getting somebody back to life. Is it the balls claim another?
You have to pay for life.
Equivalent exchange.
Is there like a special warning siren that goes off when somebody spots Shenron? It tells everybody to take
cover. Oh boy.
I think it's when the sky gets all dark.
A Dragon Ball alert has been issued for your area.
And like the whole world notices, but no one ever knows like what is going
on. God, every wish is just Shenron taking from someone else.
Oh god.
Oolong wish for panties. Suddenly some poor woman just lost one of her pairs of underwear.
We have to hope that it was in the drawer.
Yes.
Yes.
And then it was just never noticed.
Could be innocuous, yeah.
Let us assume the best of people.
So we have the whereabouts of three of our balls.
Yes.
Right?
3 of 7.
we'll have to keep an eye out for the others in future episodes.
Uh-huh. Keep an eye on the dragon radar.
Because, spoiler alert, they're going to go looking for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They're going to need them.
They are the namesake.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this first episode of Destructo Discourse, then.
3 episodes down. 297-ish to go.
Feel my power level growing.
About 1% in, so.
What do we want to watch next week?
Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
How many?
I think I want to watch Dragon Ball Z.
Let's just polish off the Saiyan saga.
Okay.
Cool thing.
I don't know. We can
rub it out real quick.
Let's finish up the Raditz fight. I don't think.
You want to stick to 3 episodes?
Yeah. Give or take, if everybody can do that.
Okay.
That works for me.
Take him a couple
If anybody wants to follow along, that's what we'll be doing.
Take little bites.
Thank you, listeners, if we have any, for following us down this road.
Yeah.
I appreciate you listening in and laughing at some of our jokes about Dragon Ball.
If you are listening and are so inclined, please rate and review this on iTunes, because that really, 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 really helps us, especially this
Absolutely.
Early. Like, that is really crucial for a new podcast. So please, it takes 5 seconds.
To get eyeballs and earballs on it.
Earballs.
Maybe 6.
So we can keep talking about balls.
Anybody have anything they want to plug? Any presence on the internet?
Oh.
Any tweets that you want read?
Beans.
Or art you want seen?
I got a Tumblr.
With
my arts on
it. Give us that Tumblr.
I'd love to. You can find me at jcalves.tumblr.com. That's JAYCALVES.
Matt, do you have anything in the works?
Yeah, I'm currently working on a video game.
Ooh.
You can follow updates on my Twitter at MonumentousMatt.
Monumentous.
Excellent. Very cool.
Yes. I'm larger than life.
Gordy, anything you want to plug?
Well, Tyler and I do another podcast called What the Folklore, in which we read weird fairy tales from around the world, and we try to piece together what's going on in the plot.
Oddly enough, we talk about Dragon Ball on that one, too.
If you want a little Dragon Ball, there's some of that.
I wish you guys would do more episodes on Journey to the West.
We'll get some in.
Yeah, we'll jump on that soon.
That'll do it. You can follow us on Twitter if you want.
WT Folklore. Well, thank you guys, and I'll see everybody next week.
All right, thank you.
On the next time
on Destructo Discourse. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away. Chala, chala, no time to hesitate, don't wanna search the earth, within it was a magic surprise. Oh, chala, chala, be cool, don't be afraid, you got the power to get you through the night. Oh, chala, chala, no time to hesitate, don't wanna search the earth, within it was a
Jala.